Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I would like for you to turn to the Word of God. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. And the President of the United States, around 9:30 our time, but it was in Paris, he shared a little how deeply honored he was to honor Armistice Day on hallowed ground. That's where more than 1,000 spread out all across France, the different battles where so many of our armed forces, sons, they didn't conscript too many women in those days. And of course, on Veterans Day, we honor all veterans, but we remember all those who their families would have difficulty going up there, but they're buried in France. And we have had the privilege to go by the American cemetery, especially at Normandy, thousands and thousands of American soldiers, the crosses and Stars of David, Mesley. And by the way, something I didn't know is that where all these soldiers are buried, that becomes sovereign American territory. That's something I didn't know it, but that's just something. It's so sacred as we honor those hallowed grounds and hallowed through the shedding of the blood of these wonderful, special, patriotic young men. So I just wanted to, people, and we don't need to, they are my belief, faith says they are in heaven. We're going to meet them all. By the way, I want to honor especially the most recent veteran we had the privilege of releasing him into the heavenly glory, to the captain of armies himself, our wonderful Johnny Cook. We miss him every day. And amen. Whenever he got to be able to hold the flags, and he would take part in some of the marches sometimes on Veterans Day that we would do. So we bless him. And I really felt when I was speaking the words at his homegoing that I was releasing him. This great soldier, I was releasing him to the captain, that he was going to get to salute the captain of armies. That's there he is with his beautiful, gorgeous wife. He had told me about one of the things he said is when he was driving by and he had to stop at this restaurant, country restaurant, and he saw the most gorgeous redhead he's ever seen. And he pursued, like a good soldier would, that young lady and married her. It's Martha. So we treasure them both. But as we honor and pay homage to these veterans, and you saw them up here, all some of those guys with here, give them a big clap, will you, again? Thank you. That in all the branches, we so honor you for the years you served. And I want to just give us a scriptural foundation to some of that. Do we do that? I was trained. I went to a Bible university, and it was a fundamentalist, but it was a Baptist. And part of the training, on one hand, it's very good training. As a foundation, as where is that in the Word? Show it in, show me to in the Word. And which is good. All that we do, our foundation is from the Word of God. We get guidance from there. And so in that context then, I wanted to read to you about some of the veterans mentioned in the Bible. So here are some stories of the veterans. And he says in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 23, these are the names of the mighty men that called, basically, David's mighty men of war, mighty men of battle. These are the mighty men. Say mighty men. Whom David had, and Josheb-Bashebeth, the Tekmonite. I'm glad they're not here, because if I mispronounce their name, there would be a spear thrown at me. No. Chief among the captains. He was called Adino, the Eznite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. Now, just think. They didn't have machine guns. They didn't have bazookas. I mean, they had arrows and spears, chariots. Killed 800 men at one time. Said one time. They earned mighty men of war. And after, how many of you saw, how many of you can name me the most highest decorated soldier in the Second World War? His name was Audie Murphy. And he made a lot of Western movies. He became a star in West. So you still see him on the Western Channel. And he was short. He was not giant of a man. But there is a movie of his life story, of basically nothing about the movie, but about his achievements in the Second World War, called To Hell and Back. If you ever get to see, they don't show it that often. But he was a great hero. And you see him, one of the pictures from this true story is his men all get trapped, and there is a tank that's on fire, but the only weapon of aggression they have to defend, and he jumps up on this tank that's totally in flames and uses the machine gun that's on there to defend his regiment. And how he came out alive, I don't know. But, I mean, these are some of the great men in this present century. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. That's not the best name. My father was Dodo. The Ahite. Again, I'm so glad they're not here. Because did you call my father Dodo? The Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory. Say, great victory. I'm claiming that for all of us. Great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to plunder. Some of these things. You see God's intervention in all of that. Through all of these exploits, it is the Lord who is to be honored. And to a degree, a part of the reason I feel like we need to look at these is that we are, and I'm so proud of this community, that we did a 21-day fast in September, and part of our intercession was for the midterm elections. And I'm grateful. You could see some of the spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies at the Kavanaugh hearing and the mob that came and the witches that were putting. I mean, we are in spiritual war. Okay? And so we need to learn how to cover ourselves and not only cover ourselves in the protection for our children, but also achieve victory for the cause of Christ and for things that are right for us, that we can maintain that which was handed to us, that it, patriotism is a good thing, that defending our borders and defending our children is a righteous thing, that all of these things are important. And when we are in spiritual battle, as these guys were in literal battle to defend Israel, and many of the tribes that they battled were very demonized, tribal customs that were worship false gods that made them throw babies into fire and all of this, some of the most demonic behavior. As we look at the customs of some of those people who wanted to defeat Israel. And verse 11, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. You see some of these people, that these some of the mighty men, that part of the quality was, you no more backing down. We are not backing down. We are not retreating. We are going to advance. And so that may just be a bean field, but it's our bean field, and you're not going to take over. And that's, we are living often in a stage of compromise. And we want, especially with where we are, our standards, we have as Christians and as the Church of Jesus Christ, for the last 60 years, 50 years at least, we, the church and its standards, were aggressively being warred against. And we backed down. We would back down. Okay. We'll back down. You can't be, you're being intolerant. Okay, we'll, you cannot, we will not allow prayer in school. Okay, we back down. And it's, I mean, we surrendered so many lentil fields that were important to us. Our taxes paid for all the public schools. And yet, your God is not allowed. We can talk about this and this, but this, no, no. So no more prayer in school. You can't even mention Jesus. And even then, no more Bible studies. And it's it in so many places, no, we cannot have the Ten Commandments. No, there cannot be a cross on the cemetery. Do you know the cemeteries that honor our veterans from the First World War? There are places that, I mean, they're almost all of them, their faith was in the Lord. And so they had, in a lot of the veteran cemeteries, they have beautiful crosses that they built. And now they're being attacked and said, no, no, you cannot put the cross at the entrance of the cemetery. And they had to do all kinds of legal maneuvers to keep those ancient monuments there. So you see that in many ways, instead of, it kind of neutered who we were as the church and as believers, and we kept on giving up the lentil field. Said, no, no, okay, it's all right, we'll go back down. We are going to teach your 5 and 6-year-olds how they can be either male or female. And it, we just kept, you know, it's when Bonnie and some of her friends would attend some of the council meetings, and they would, I mean, there would be a whole bunch of people from the LGBT community, and I'd say, hey, wow, well, you would admire their determination and their commitment, that they would all be gathered. There are just not that many here, but the Christians wouldn't show up. And so we surrendered. I'm not putting condemnation, I'm just saying to ourselves, we are in spiritual war also, and we need to not be apologetic for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and then the Word of God. Anyway, this is the quality of some of the great veterans in the Bible. Then three of the 30 chief men went down to the harvest time, came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that somehow would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. They are amazing. If I took time to see the scenario, I mean, that they couldn't, it's not easy. No longer can they, it's under siege. They cannot go get to the well of Bethlehem. And David says, "Oh, I wish I could drink that. Oh, it's such a, so special to drink from that well." And those three men says, "Hey, our captain wants to drink from that well. We're going to break through, beat up anyone around the Philistines, and we're going to get some water from the well." It's amazing. And he said, "Far be it from me," verse 17, "Oh Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men." Now, Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of three? Therefore, he became their captain. So, we'll stop there. It says, was he not the most honored? Say honored. So as he talks about these mighty men of war, the word here used, that honor, and that they had different, I mean, they were just some of the greatest exploits done, and we learn from the word, these things should be honored. So, and then in several places, the Bible takes note of some of these great warriors. By the way, then we have a list of heroes in the, you see that in these other veterans of the Bible. By faith, Hebrews 11, by faith, verse 17, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. 11:18, but then Isaac shall the seed be called. Anyway, the Lord provided a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Say, by faith. By faith, Moses. Okay. Then, I'm going down the list. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down under Joshua. And what shall I more, Sarah, say? Shall I say, for the time would fail me till Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And he's talking about some of the veterans of the Bible who did great things. And so, even though, you know, and it is right to say God is love, then now why are we talking about battle and all that? Because we must, from time to time, battle against evil. And so as we look back and honor the veterans, there aren't, as this morning, as President Trump was honoring the war dead in the First World War, he had some of the men who served during the Second World War. There are not that many. See, remember, we honor some of those great veterans, that he had five or six, I believe, veterans of the longest day of the D-Day landings there, and he honored them. But they were responding, and the Allies at that time, about the evil of Germany, of Nazi Germany, of Hitler, as he invaded Europe, invaded Poland, and he started invading France and other people we called allies. And evil was trying to envelop the whole of Europe. There is evil. I mean, and therefore, of course, the embodiment in our history books of evil is Hitler. But it kind of brings to this surface, and we have to really watch out for the culture and some of the propaganda we have that war is evil. And it, there, we went through a phase, and I was right there to see it, a lot of where the Vietnam veterans, when they came home, they were disdained, they were insulted, and it was so terrible because these were some precious young men. Their nation called them to this cause. They didn't create that war. But they went and they were insulted and all of that. And it's because of the air from way back of political correctness. But we want to realize from the example of the Word of God that there is time these mighty men of war stood against all the evil tribes that wanted to conquer Israel and bring their evil where they could no longer worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There were evil practices, and they had to have strong borders to keep the evil out. So, and ultimately, you know, our ultimate leader is the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the armies of the living God. It says in Psalm 144, I'll let you go in a moment, but Psalm 144 says here, turn there for a moment. I just want to just say, we want to see from the Word of God why we honor and how it is important and it's scriptural for us to do. We have to stand against evil. And for the sake of not only ourselves, but our children, our heritage, to keep the ability to have freedom to worship our God. You know, literally right now, I mean, there are battles going on in Pakistan, for example. You can, at the drop of a hat, you could be blamed for blasphemy. And if the sentence is death. There was a woman who tried to serve water from a well, who was a Christian. And these, from what I understand the story, as she offered water to these Islamic women, she was insulted. No Muslim in Pakistan can drink from the vessel of a Christian. And that, so she was somewhat in the, you could look up this case of this lady. She still, it just came through the Supreme Court of Pakistan, set her free. But for 3 years or so, she was in prison because they thought it was an insult. And so just in the act of offering water, that she had blasphemed God because she messed with Muslims by offering, huh? Yeah, and she was going to be stoned. So these are, that's why our freedoms are worth fighting for and standing strong and not backing down. We are going to keep our lentil field. Psalm 144, verse 1. It's the Psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer. Say, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. He in whom I trust, who subdues my enemies. Amen. And then verse 6, cast forth lightning and scatter the enemy. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. So that's David's prayer. Shoot your arrows. Destroy the enemies. And send thine hand from above, rid me, deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. Basically, I mean, those who worship false gods, whose mouth speaks vanity, whose their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. And I will sing a new song unto you, Lord, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and sing praises to you. Verses 12 onwards. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished out of the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full of affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands, 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. So, see, here it is. We are defending ourselves so that our children, our sons and daughters, may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones. So it's not only for us, for our families. And therefore, Lord, give safety for our children, to our families, to our people and our nation, that so that our cities may not be overrun by false religious demonic things that'll, you know, and he's talking about Israel, but it's right here for us. We're not prejudicing anybody, but so that our children remain safe, that our borders be safe, Lord God. And you'll find that over and over. Deuteronomy 9 talks about destroy the enemies, Lord, that represent wickedness. You see it. I mean, it's, anyway. So David is one of the great veterans, and he fought many battles so Israel could enjoy peace. The only thing Israel wanted to do was live in peace. They didn't want to conquer other things. Well, as the Lord gave them land, it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who said, I've given you this land. It's your promised land. Now defend it and be ready to keep your freedoms. So the veterans, as they stood here, it just shows we honored them and that we are willing to pay the price for freedom. How many of you, by the way, how many of you that one of your relatives, mom, dad, I mean, or granddad, served in the First World War or the Second World War? Can you raise your hand if you know? How about how many of you? Yeah, do you any of you remember your grandpa or whatever was in the First World War? Your uncle was? Who was it, Armin? Harvey Decker. Was he your grandfather? Wow. Anybody else? Rebecca is pointing. Yours? Grandfather. First World War, right? Yeah. Back there, way. Okay. How about that? Yeah, I saw you, honey. That's, anybody else? I didn't. Back there, who was it? Yeah? Yeah, great. Awesome. And in many ways, there are not that many movies we made. I mean, for me, I guess we have gotten a lot of information just from the entertainment. Like I made a funny comment. I did a funny attempt, but I said some of the people, like, I just don't know how we could have won the Second World War without John Wayne and Robert Taylor and Robert Mitchum and other people, you know. But not that many movies about the First World War. But that was even in some ways more destructive and horrible. And about 10 million soldiers died in the First World War. And if you want to do more study about it, it's one of the most brilliant books ever written about the First World War. It's called The Guns of August by an author called Barbara Tuchman, who was, came out during the time of John Kennedy. And he considered that one of the greatest books And it was the tragedy of the First World War, since we had honoring Armistice Day 100 years ago, is that it was on silly little reasons, I mean small, teeny things, that accumulated. And there was absolutely no reason for the First World War, except it was triggered by an assassination of a small prince. Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated by some weird group, small little group, but it's like a big avalanche started by just one rock, and it ended up being the First World War. And where people, it was so destructive of young men, and many will have looked at this war since that a whole two generations of men were wiped out. I mean, all the young men, a large number, let's just say, for Europe were wiped out in these wars. So it is terrible that we have to go through that. But yet, we had to do battle evil. And our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, helps us. And so today, we say thank you, Lord, for our freedoms. And we treasure the price has been paid for our freedom. And we give you thanks for every day that we enjoy. The last point I want to make is that all of these soldiers that they were not alone, they had families. But a notable thing is that all of them would always ask, well, we'd be so grateful for prayer. And my thought today was, as we honor the veterans, we want to commit ourselves afresh to pray for those who are serving, that we can send them care packages, that we can especially get their names, send them cards if we know. If you know people who are in the armed forces serving in Vietnam or overseas, we need to send letters and say we care for them. We are thinking of you and we are praying for you. So it'll be good season. We're going to set aside some watch focuses in the coming days to pray for all our members of our armed forces, especially those serving overseas. And then you basically really pray also for our law enforcement people, that the Lord's safety will be over them. So, hallelujah. Let's all stand. Know some of this major word as we celebrate, honor the peace that was established this day, 100 years ago. We thank you, Lord, and we want to treasure we want to thank you for the sacrifice of these people. So take your neighbor's hand right now, if you don't mind. Father, as we stand before you as a church and as a community, we want to thank you for all our veterans. We want to put in sacred memory these saints who raised the arms and said, my uncle, my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather served in the First World War. Those, our ancestors, our loved ones who served in the Second World War and then in the Vietnam War. Lord, we remember veterans like Johnny Cook who do their best for our nation. We want to say they are held in sacred memory, Lord. And above all, we honor the captain of armies, Jesus Christ, today. You are the great veteran who died, was buried, resurrected on the third day. as you showed yourself to Joshua as the captain of the armies of the living God. We salute the captain of the armies. We salute your name, Lord. And we put in remembrance for ourselves, Lord, those members of armed forces serving in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, those in the Navy, Lord, serving in the Pacific, whether they have to confront often the Chinese Navy. Lord, keep every branch of armed forces strong, Lord, we pray, as we sang honoring the branches of armed forces. Cover them today, Lord, not on land, but in sea and in air also, Lord. We thank you for each of their lives. And they are there serving so we can be free. We treasure our freedom, Lord. Thank you. We say, God bless America. God bless its wonderful freedoms. We are more free than any other nation, owing such a great debt to our veterans, those who gave their lives to keep us free. We honor their sacred memory, and we honor with covering prayers all members who are in uniform, Lord, men and women, our sons and daughters today. Thank you. We pray for peace and ongoing peace. They were so grateful to hear the sound of artillery and machine guns cease. And there was an eerie sound, they said, in Europe as every gun stopped firing. Give us shalom. We treasure shalom. Preserve, Lord, the peace. We especially pray, Lord, stop, as they kept our freedom, Lord, part of the freedoms is our ability to be able to freely vote. And that vote is a treasure of our freedom. Preserve their sanctity, and we bind fraud and corruption that would in any way steal the effectiveness of our vote. So we bind the instruments of fraud and thievery, Lord, that would try to steal the power of each vote. We bind lying spirits and fraud in our political system, and especially we pray, cover that freedom, the freedom and the ability to vote, and that let that vote be counted and not be nullified. So thank you. We thank you for freedom. Say, Lord, we thank you for freedom. Thank you for all our armed forces who have preserved us as free people. We say, God bless America. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is a good God. Amen. I want the healing team, all the team, to come up here. Let's be ready to. We want to, as we sing our song, we are anxious to pray for you. If you want a prayer, a blessing, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come on up. The Lord's telling you to join this family. You have been kind of wandering around. This is your home, God is saying. Come up and tell one of these, I want to join the church. I need a body of believers. I need family. They're not supposed to be alone. God has provided us family of God for you. Come on up. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for every veteran. What are we going to sing, Michael?
We're sing Mighty Man of War.
Amen. Mighty Man of War. One of my favorites.
Mighty Man of War.
Amen.
Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you.
Yahweh, Yahweh,
come and do what only you can do. Mighty man of war, Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you.
Can do.
Mighty men of war,
yes,
Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you. Yahweh, Yahweh, come and do what only you can do. Also make alive. You are the Lion, yet you are the Lamb of God. Yahweh, Yahweh, come and do what only you can do. You are my glory. Tremble at the mention of your name. God of thunder, you are the God of fire.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.